Welcome to the Easy Talk Show. I'm your host, Easy Ward. This is the show you'll get nourishment for your needs, food for your soul, and of course, healing for your hearts. Thank you for all the love from episode 13. I appreciate us. You know, you all just rocking with us. It's been a great journey thus far, and man, we're going to keep going. If you are new to my channel, please like, comment, or subscribe to Easy Ward TV. Once again, if you're new to my channel, please like, comment, or subscribe to my channel. Today we got a new set, as you all probably noticed by now, and this is what we call cozy couch convos, right? Cozy couch convos, and these are convos that are going to be, you know, always, you know, my motto is near and dear to me, something that's very much personal but also very 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 much relatable as well. Today we are talking about vision resetting, and you know, this is a topic that I wanted to talk about today because as we are approaching the middle part of the year, you know, as we're recording this, this is July 19th. But, you know, we are basically, you know, at the halfway point of the year. And for a lot of us, you know, for some of you watching this, you've had a great year thus far. You know, you've been crushing all your goals, doing everything you put your mind towards. And if you, you know, if you have been doing that, continue just to press forward, continue to do whatever you've been doing, especially if you've been seeing fruit from it, seeing success from it, and seeing just, you know, really, really great results from it. But for a lot of us, for a lot of people, we're at a point in this year where we're not satisfied. We're not happy. We are not really pleased with ourselves. A lot of us are frustrated. We are really at a point where, like, you're like, man, you know, I've been putting in all this work and I don't see anything. And today, I want to kind of tackle two points that I think can, one, help you kind of reset your vision, but also reset your focus so that you can get, you know, to that next level of your life over these next 6 months. Because I do believe that the work you put in, if you do not faint, you know, if you do not stop, you will reap a harvest. You just got to keep going. So today, you know, I want to talk about resetting expectations, reevaluating your goals. So first and foremost, I think for everybody out there, when you get to the halfway point of the year, you need to kind of just do an inventory, right? Check an inventory of your life and really just look at your goals from what you set in January and say, hey, how have I achieved, you know, against these goals thus far? So if your goal was to lose 15 pounds, if your goal was to start eating more healthy, you know, start your business, you know, off the ground, if your goal was to start reading more books, just begin to quantify it, right? And look and say, okay, you know what? This is July. My goal was to read 6 books, and thus far, I've read 3. Okay, you know, what do I got to do to reach that goal the second half of the year? Or if your goal was to, you know, lose some weight or get more fit, hey, how can I begin to clean up my diet? But, you know, and put things in place so that I can begin to really, really hit this goal. I think more than anything right now, there has to be a time where you really just sit down and say, okay, this is what I've done. This is where I want to go. Now, let's put a game plan in place. And through thick and thin over these next 6 months, we're going to execute against that game plan. Now, once you do that, there are two things that I said that I wanted to cover today. And that's the first thing is rest. And I think in this hustle culture, we don't prioritize rest. Everything is work, 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 work. And that's not even biblical. God rested once he created earth, you know, the heavens and the earth. So in Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3, I'm going to read this verse that really talks about the importance of rest. It says, so the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all of his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was the day when he rested from all of his work of creation. So that right there is a scripture that really prioritizes the importance of rest. So for everybody out there, it's great to evaluate your goals, to create roadmaps, but also do not neglect your self-care. Do not neglect time where you can just recharge, rest, and relax, because that, to be honest with you, that is healthy and you achieving your goals. That's probably going to help you achieve your goals even more. But, you know, I would encourage everybody out there watching right now, if you are at the middle point of the year watching this right now, I mean, you could be at the end of the year, you know, whenever you watch this. But if you watch this and you're like, man, this year, I'm not where I want to be. You know, I feel burnt out. take some time to one, celebrate yourself, but two, rest. You know, take some time to rest so that you can recharge and refuel, so that one, you can ultimately, you know, recalibrate yourself so you can be better this next half of the year. But I think rest is something that's very important. I myself go on vacation every year with my family, and I take time to literally do nothing. I just rest, sleep, you know, watch good movies, eat, do whatever I want to do. But I prioritize rest because if I'm not at maximum strength or maximum health, I'm not going to be able to be fully effective. So you can be somebody who's getting stuff done, but if you're not emotionally healthy, physically healthy, mentally healthy, or you're drained and burnt out, then a lot of those goals you won't be able to achieve because you're not even operating at the aptitude that you need to really operate and to reach that new altitude that you're trying to get to. So, you know, I really would encourage everybody to rest. So that's the first thing. Next is solitude, spending time with God, withdrawing. So scripture shows us a lot about Jesus oftentimes withdrawing from crowds, from his work, and really withdrawn before he made important decisions to pray and talk to God. And, you know, so I'll show you some scriptures here. So Luke 6, verses 12 through 13 says this. One day, soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. At daybreak, he called together all of his disciples and chose 12 of them to be apostles. So right here, Jesus had been working, and he legit went to the mountain, withdrew from everybody. And before he made an important decision to choose his disciples, it said that he prayed all night. So for a lot of you right now, what that looks like is, hey, maybe get off Instagram for a week. Maybe get off social media for a little bit of time. Maybe withdraw from your friend group, but do it in a healthy way. Don't just like go cold turkey, stop talking to people. But like when I say withdraw, I mean like, hey, tell your friends, hey, guys, I've been a little bit, you know, off my game for the next few days. If you don't hear from me, I'm doing perfectly fine. I'm just taking some time to spend with God. So for me, I'll be praying. I'll be, you know, seeking God in fasting and prayer, you know, really, really communing with God, because God wants to hear from you anyway. So, but when you do that, you show God that one, I'm prioritizing you before any and everything. And when you do that, that's when I believe that God can then come in and say, hey, you know what? Okay. You know, this is what I want. You know, this is what I want from you. You know, because you are spending that time with me as well. And then also, you know, another verse is Luke 5, verses 15 through 16. But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of the diseases. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. So once again, it is showing you that Jesus, in spite of, you know, all the healing he did for people, all the work he did for people, he took time to withdraw himself so that one, he could go commune with God and really get guidance and get instruction and get fed and say, okay, God, you know, this is what's going on. You know, like I believe that in those time periods, he was getting direction, guidance. He was getting, you know, really, really, you know, just the foresight and vision to see what was next for, you know, for his ministry. So two things today, well, actually three things. So first, I would reevaluate your goals, you know, reassess where you are, look at what you've done thus far, you know, celebrate yourself, but also rest. Take time to recharge yourself, refuel yourself, recalibrate yourself. And then from there, you know, withdraw. Spend time with God. Like go in your hiding place, go in a secret place. Like I said, do it healthy. I'm not telling you to just stop talking to people like and don't give them a heads up. I'm saying like give them a heads up, say, hey, you know what, guys, next few days, you probably won't hear from me. I'll be praying, fasting, spending time with God. And I believe that if you do those things, you'll be able to come back, you know, whenever it's the top of the year or the second half of the year, you'll be able to really finish the second half of the year very strong. So that's what I got today. You know, I know per usual, Dan and I, we're going to peel it back even more. And this is what you call the cozy couch conversations.
Cozy couch conversations.
Yeah.
We back, man. I like it. It's a beautiful, beautiful set, man. You laid it all out. Looking good out here.
Shout out to you.
Great talks, great topic. Something I've really had to discover this year when it comes to resting and actually solitude. I didn't even think about it that way, about getting away. But talk to me about this culture thing. Let's dive a little bit more in this culture thing. Like, can you talk to me about why it's not cool to be cool? What I mean by that is a lot of people, like you said, the cool thing to do is to hustle, hustle, hustle. I only get 3 hours of sleep. I'm only, you know, and sometimes it's necessary in some seasons, but you are called to rest as a commandment. So, like, talk to me about just more of that in today's culture, and to speak to the people that might feel pressured to keep up with today's times.
So I think it's a few ways to look at it. I think you got to look at it from a practical lens and then a overall spiritual lens. So I think the practical lens is this. Right now, if you just look at just the world, like in general, and this is kind of spiritual aside, just the world, everything is fast paced. Everything is microwave. Everything is get it, get it, get it. And we're living, if we want to be honest and transparent, we're living in dire times. You know, like the economy is bad. You know, like most people don't have high paying jobs. You know, like we are living in a very, you know, tumultuous time. And it's a tough time. So from a practical sense, people think that, man, I have to do everything that I can possibly do. You know, I gotta hustle 7 days a week. You know, no time for anything, no time for church, no time for relationships, just work. And I think what happens is you get to a point where when you try to do it by yourself, you got to sustain it by yourself. So, and this is where the practical thing comes in at. Practically, if you're not being led by the Spirit, so now the Spirit, I'm going to bring it back in. If you're not being led by the Spirit, if you're not being led in prayer, if you're not being led by God, then you will think that you got to hustle. But here's the thing. When you do that, you got to sustain that. And we can't sustain that. Because the more you hustle, the more burnout you're going to be. You know, when you're burnt out, you're not going to be effective. You know, and then when you can't be effective, like, you know, promotions won't come, raises won't come. Like, it's a trickle-down effect. But when you go at the pace of God, and I believe that when you rest, when you work, you know, I mean, we still got to work hard. You know, like, we don't live in a time, you know, where you can't work hard. When you work hard, but spend time with God, you know, honor Him, you know, with your finances, you know, give Him your 10%. Then that's when you could begin to open up for the supernatural blessings that God has, you know, and the windows of opportunity that you can't see. But when you think about it from a man perspective of just like, I gotta go, you know, I gotta go and I gotta hustle beyond what I can even see right now. So I think that if we stop looking at it from just a cultural standpoint of just me, but really leaning on God with all that process and really this comes in to having God be the ruler over every part of your life. See, a lot of times we wanna just have God in one area of our life. We don't want Him to be the ruler and Lord over every area of our life, over our finances, over our sexual life, over our eating habits, over our, like, we just want Him in church on Sunday, and then maybe on like a Tuesday, or Wednesday, maybe even a Monday, because that's the top of the week. But by Wednesday or Thursday, we kind of like, man, it's 7 p.m. Friday. You know what I'm saying? You know? So I said it to say, but like, when you let God be the Lord of your life in all areas of your life, then I think that kind of hustle culture mindset kind of diminishes, because you realize that that's not even biblical. Bro. At the root of that, that's not biblical. Like, we're commanded to rest. So you're actually sinning when you're doing all that working and not resting. Like, it's in the Bible. That's not my opinion.
Right.
So that's it. Hopefully, I'm not just rambling, but go ahead.
That made me think about a couple things. One, and you kind of just said it, like, I think when we don't rest, it's a signal to God that we don't trust Him.
Yes.
Like, it's a red flag. Relationship-wise, the image I said, that I saw in my head, shout out to my fiance, right? But the image that I saw in my head was that
she's here right now.
Right. We can say it. Context. The image that I saw in my head was, is like a you know, when you ask your woman or your lady or whoever your partner is to do something, or she asks you to do something, or he, whoever, asks you, hey, take out the trash, and you sitting on your phone, you just chilling, you're resting, right?
Yeah.
And it's 5 minutes later, they go do exactly what
they asked you.
They asked you to do, and it's like, well, I could have done it for you. You feel me? That's what I see in our head. Like sometimes I feel like, you know, you kind of hit it on the nail on the head. It's like we do, and we talk to God like that. Like God be the one who's actually doing all the work that we can't see, and we say, hey, God, I need you to do this in our prayer closet, and don't give him no chance or opportunity to act on the prayer we just called on him for. So that's what I saw in my head. Really, as you were speaking, I'm like, dang, we really be doing that. That's crazy.
We do.
Can you talk to me about another thing I saw was just fasting or some boundaries that you set when it comes to, it might not be, it could just be like a partial fast where you say, hey, I'm getting off social media. What are some fasts that you do, or what are some rules or boundaries that you set when you fast or you when you get away?
Yeah, so one, when I fast, I try to, one, get off social media and try to limit all distractions, but also I have matured to a point where I try to just do either water or maybe like some form of like fruit and veggie kind of, you know, a fast. But when I do that, I like doing it for a time period, at least for me, that I feel like my flesh is getting weak. So when I say that, like, this is what I'm saying. So more so, when you're fasting, you're ultimately sacrificing something that you like to draw closer to God. And you're having him fill that void of time or space. So like, for example, of course, we all love eating. So when you're fasting, you're saying, you know what, I'm putting down my plate and this time I'm going to commune with God as my daily bread. You know, like I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to be in his word. I'm going to be worshiping. You know, those are things that I'm going to do. You know, when you get off social media, you should be replacing that time that you would be scrolling to be in your word, you know, worshiping, you know, praise and worship. But those are boundaries that I set. And I do that because God honors sacrifice. So when he sees that you are willing to sacrifice something that you love, I mean, and it's the thing, God knows your heart anyway. So if you're sacrificing something that you don't already do, it's not a sacrifice. You're just giving up something just to say you gave it up, but you're not sacrificing. But we all, like you all, like, you know that thing. You know that thing. The person that's watching, that you should sacrifice. It could be sex. Like, it could be like, yo, you know what, bro? I love, like, I'm trying to get it in, but you know what? I'm going to take a week off. You know what I'm saying? Like, for some people, that is a real sacrifice. And God, I believe, honors that because he knows, like, he already knows your weak spots anyway. You know, if your thing is yo, every Friday, I go to Five Guys. So I'm going to do 4 Fridays, no Five Guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it could be anything, but like, you got to figure out what that sacrifice is for you. But that sacrifice, that's when you really can draw closer to God. And really, really, you know, you'll hear from him in some incredible ways.
That's good. That's good. To speak to that point, bro, I think a lot of times another way of looking at fasting is we're filling the void, like you said, with God. And a lot of times we want to give Instagram or the world access before we even give it to God first. So it's like, it's a way to, if you want to hear God's voice more clearly, and if you want to, what's the right word? Kind of ground yourself spiritually, I think fasting is the best way to have a conversation with God, because that's the only thing you can do.
Preach it.
You feel me? That's the only thing you like. If you look at God like you're in a relationship, you're saying, like, God, I value you. I value this relationship. I'm willing to show you X, Y, and Z. I will wake up at this time to spend time with you first. I will read your word so you can hear me more. And we're going to talk about this next. The last thing is just, I think when we consume so much of the world, we lose the word.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
You feel me?
Say it one more time.
Like, we lose so much of the, I've been working on my catchphrases, but like, when we're so in touch with the world, we start losing the word. And I think when we ground ourselves with reading God's word and saying, God, hey, point to me. I don't even know where to start in the Bible, but what book should I start reading? What should I start asking for? and you start hearing your thoughts say wisdom, whatever, and you start looking at Proverbs and all these different books of the Bible, you can start reading on these things. And you spend time early in the morning, right? And you focus on these things, and then God will start putting you in situations throughout the day where he'll confirm things that you've been thinking about. He'll start confirming or start bringing up these new things as you're fasting and sacrificing. The second that you get on Instagram, or the second that you listen to that song, 7 p.m. on Friday, all these things start chipping away at God's communication.
Yes. And by the way, we love those songs, but it's a balance.
It is a balance. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I do want to make it clear. Right. Like, this is not me shaming that, because I love
it too.
If you know me, you know I love rap. I love R&B. I just know that I got, like, as I've been maturing spiritually, I have to have a balance with that,
right?
Because I do know that music, whether you want to admit it or not, it directs your thoughts and your actions to a certain degree. So for me, I have to I got to scale it back some. But because if it was me, I'm listening I'm listening to some stuff every day.
Look, my whole month of before I proposed to my fiance last month, I fasted that whole month, and I only listened to Christian music.
Yeah.
However it came, I listened to Christian music because I knew other music was getting in the way of my thought process and how I was going to do my communication with God. So it's not like to condemn anybody. It's more of like it's a balance.
Yeah, yeah,
it's a balance thing. It's just if you want to draw closer to God, put yourself in a holier place.
Yes.
That's a simple way to put it. But I guess that's the last thing. Why is it important to watch what you're consuming in order to recharge?
Man, well, if like you just said it really best. You just said, and I don't know if you caught what you said, but you just said if you want to be holier, put yourself in a holier place. And I think that's really like I can't really answer that any better than that, but just that. When you are trying to grow, when you're trying to get to that next level spiritually, you need things that are pouring into you, you know, that are uplifting your spirit. And not making you do things that are sins. Because if you want to be honest, a lot of that music, if you listen to it, and we love it, it sounds amazing. The substance of it, of a lot of it, is not things that are God-like. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not telling you to worship God. It's telling you to do everything that the world's telling you to do, not what the word is telling you to do. So, you know, it's important to have, you know, strong podcasts, you know, watching sermons, you know, listening to worship music, and also having friends who are in that like-minded space as well. But ultimately, it's getting in that word. All those things are great, but nothing replaces getting in that word, because that word is alive and well. And it's the truth. It's the truth. Like it's like you don't, the word is not up for debate, because it's his word. Like, it's not my word. It's his word. So it's just so important, because you want to be in a headspace that, one, you can hear God, that you got healthy thoughts, emotionally you're sound, mentally you're sound. And I believe that the other things that sometimes we consume just take us off that path of that. It more so just like overall detracts us from that.
Perfect. That's it. If y'all are out there and y'all are looking for tips on fasting, just look it up. Just Google different types of fast. If you're not there at the fasting stage, start by reading a chapter a day, or 5 minutes in the morning, or one Christian song. Work your way up like it's a habit, and then we'll get there. But that's it.
Yep. And you know what? And going forward, we will cover that. I'm pretty sure that we'll cover this, you know, in a more, you know, later setting. But as always, man, thank you guys for tuning in. This is the Easy Talk Show. I'm your host, Easy Ward. And as always, I'll see you next time. Love, Easy.